Trigger warning. This episode of Born Funny contains themes and discussion of mental health, depression, self-harm, and miscarriages.
Listener.
Hello, BFFs. Born Funny friends.
Why do you say it like that?
Because I always forget what it is.
It's like you...
I'm convincing myself.
But you're like, hey...
It's that noise at the start is giving me enough time to process whether I'm saying the right thing or not. I wouldn't. It's definitely not worth an applause. It is.
Well, I'll be the judge of what's worth an applause.
Are you doing the same thing as me?
Well, maybe I was.
Hey, this is a big guest. Episode 38. Tamin Sursok.
Yeah,
she's a big deal.
A lot of people we chatted to Tamin, and we're on her podcast as well.
That's right. The old shit show.
Shit show.
Yeah.
Did the old swapsaroozies. A lot of people excited. They were like, wow, you're Tamin from
Big episode.
Pretty Little Liars, Home and Away.
Almost.
Other stuff.
She was... That's on the podcast.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
She was almost on the one that she missed out on, the Megan Fox.
Transformers. But it isn't really impressive though, is it? Because she's not in it.
Yeah, but she almost got it.
Well, I was almost...
Well, you weren't though. No.
You don't know. You don't
we
know.
We do because she told us.
Yeah, well, she could say anything.
You reckon she lied to us?
Yep.
Weird bit.
I actually don't listen to this.
It's all lies.
I think she's made
it. It's not even Tamin Sursok.
No. It's one of our producers who's pretending to be Tamin Sursok.
It's a good ep, guys. It's a
no,
good
you'll,
ep.
You'll enjoy it. It is a lot of fun.
I don't want to tell you what to do, but enjoy this one. Because she was almost on Transformers.
It's just a bad sell. I don't even remember.
Oh, you sell it.
Well,
there you go.
Ah, funny people. An odd bunch, really. Not your usual folk. They've been making us knee slaps since the ancient Greeks. But what makes these real-life jesters tick? Perhaps today we should ask this person.
Tamin Sursok.
Tell me, were you born funny?
Yes and no. I think I thought I was funny, but I've definitely adapted as I've gotten into this business. I don't know. If you're not going to laugh, you're going to cry. And like most of the time I want to cry. So I'm just going to laugh through life or make people laugh.
Nate, please get the round of applause ready.
Oh, my God.
For a South African-born, Australian,
yes, right.
American Emmy-nominated, Logie Award-winning actress, producer, director, writer, entrepreneur, platinum-selling record star, with a career spanning over two decades. Her breakthrough came as her portrayal of Danny Sutherland in the iconic Australian soap opera Home and Away, where her magnetic performance earned her widespread acclaim and gained her a devoted fan base. Beyond the small screen, she has notably portrayed Jenna Marshall in the hit television series Pretty Little Liars, a role that showcased her incredible acting skills, range and depth. In her spare time, she co-hosts the US podcast Women on Top and has also produced original content for her own channel with Awesomeness TV that has amassed a whopping 1.2 billion views, 3.6 million subscribers.
I think I like myself.
Including her original celebrity interviews and In Bed with Tamin, not just what she does with her husband, that's also something else.
Not in the bed.
If that wasn't enough, she's back down under to record her brand new podcast series, The Shit Show, which we will be on, but she joins us first on our podcast, Born Funny. Please welcome the show, the bloody hilarious, Tamin Sursok!
I am going to date myself because I didn't think I was that cool. I should be nicer to myself.
You should.
And be like, I rock.
Can we bring in a mirror so Tamin can just look at herself and just hook up with
I'm actually
herself,
so...
Please.
Wait, you are recording. I was like, oh, they're not recording. This is great.
No, we are. But you can say whatever
you
want,
I only straighten the front of my hair. So the back is like a mat. It's
we
like,
can get that. We can get that from those cameras.
There's two more cameras!
Can you slide right up to the camera
I'm
just
going to do this.
Let me see.
I'm just going to do the... Don't look at it. It's like a matted... See, I don't have... You know that hair that people... I don't know who your fan base are, but if you have some girls who listen, it's like I watch all these videos online and it's all about like, oh my goodness, I had like really curly hair and now I have beautiful straight hair that I just did myself. And oh my gosh, it's so easy with this tool. Mine doesn't work like that. It takes 4 hours. It looks worse than it did when it began. And it's like literally like a puffball. So it's just not cute.
How do you go with all the, you know, that kind of stuff, like the, you know, the fashion stuff and the makeup stuff and the hair stuff? Is that any, you got any interest in any of that?
It's not that I don't have interest in it. I just don't have a lot of time. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd rather be creating funny content or making people feel less alone or more seen or like talk about things that I struggle with. And parenting is fucking hard. Can you swear in this?
No, yeah. You fucking can fucking say whatever you want,
cunt. Sometimes. And relationships and like staying in a relationship. My relationship's been 18 years and I adore him. But like relationships in general, it's like that's work as well. And I just want people on my social media or whatever it is to be laughing or, you know, I just don't. It's not that I'm saying that fashion isn't great if you follow that stuff. It just sometimes, and this is like a big word, but it seems a little banal, you know, it just seems a little boring. It's not that I don't like fashion. I just don't focus on it as much. Well, I love makeup, but I just don't know if it's interesting people going, oh, this is Tamman's go-to makeup for the day. I don't know if I'm really helping people in that way.
Well, you've got other priorities in your life as well.
I mean, and I like makeup, but it's just not like, I don't, a tutorial. People care about what I eat, funnily enough. They DM me all the time about it.
What, do they say, hey, Tam, what'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Well, I used to be 200 pounds. I was like 200 pounds, well, sorry, like 100 kilograms when I was 14 years old, and then I lost the weight. And then I got on a hit TV show and I was really bullied, you know, Home and Away. And I was really bullied as a kid. And, you know, it was really difficult for me at the time because I was like, oh, my goodness, am I only valued because of my body or what I look like? And then I developed like, and I talk about this on my this is not funny at all. Talk about like, you know, I had anorexia and bulimia and then I found peace with it all. So people want to know, like, what do I eat now? Because I don't have like a lot of sugars and shit like that, you know what I mean? So they're like, well, what does your day consist of? So that's what they ask about.
When were you open about your eating disorders? When did you come out and say?
You know, it's funny. I realize that I'm open about things when I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, okay.
So
at 24, 25, I was over it. Yeah. When I met my husband at 23 and I just stopped like the bulimia patterns and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I want to help people. Yeah. Same with miscarriages. Again, not funny. This is not funny subjects, but miscarriages, I had so many. Then I spoke about them when I had my second child.
But I think I think you are having difficult conversations through humor and stuff now.
Your
funny has come from, you know, and a lot of the times these conversations won't happen. I talk about my depression, anxiety, only being able to joke about it helps me talk about it and helps you have the conversation. Because a lot of these things, people won't talk about it because like, oh, fuck, it's so heavy. I don't want to fucking talk about bulimia or anorexia or depression or whatever it is or having a miscarriage. Is that how you found your way to?
Yeah, I definitely use anxiety for humor. I actually have found such peace with anxiety. Like, I really like it now. Yeah. I know that sounds, I've never really suffered depression. And when I have suffered those sort of moments of depression, I actually don't like that. So if you suffer depression, I do really feel bad for someone who does, because that's really kind of, it kind of makes you paralyzed sometimes. Yeah. My anxiety, even though it's annoying and it can like make me sweat and feel, you know, I get my heart starts to race. It actually is what drives me, and it's what gets me out of bed, and it's what makes me work harder, and it's what makes me such a fighter, and it's what makes me like fight for things that I want. And so I kind of made peace with it. And if it's like my friend, then it's not like this big scary thing. Yeah. And we're like, oh, my mental health is so odd. Like, instead of I am anxious or I am depressed, I have anxiety. It's like a piece of who I am, but it's not who I am.
Tamman, I think one of the things that just makes you so incredible and so many people adore you is, and you've touched on it there, your relatability, right? Now, is this something that you feel like you've always been
able to do? I don't know, mate. I read that intro out.
I know.
I am wearing my sneakers from this morning.
Awesome, Brooks.
Also, she
you
also...
You like Brooks?
Yeah, I like Brooks. They're good running. So adrenaline.
She brought in her fucking Logie too.
I mean, oh my God. It's like, listen, I didn't think you would see it underneath my shirt. I thought you just thought I have a third boob. You're like, it's so interesting. We're not going to mention that third boob and that third nipple.
It's weird when you make us touch that.
You're just like, touch my boob. And I'm like, guys, it's my Logie.
Why does your boob look
like
Nathan
Tamman both have their rings off, wedding rings, which is weird.
Well, I messaged her beforehand saying,
Is Tamman's on? No.
Yes, I put mine on for you.
There we go.
Sorry, I just screamed into the mic. I put mine on for you.
Because then you're on the radio show and you didn't have it on.
Yeah. I went to yoga.
Well, see, this is the thing. Me and Tamman are newly married, which is really not to each other, which is really.
You know what? I honestly think that my husband would be like, oh, thank God, just a little break. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, he'd want me to be married to you for like 3 months and then you'd get over it and he'd be like, okay, actually, you can come back. I know like how to deal with her, but at least I had 3 months off. And you'd be like, that was a fun 3 months. I feel like I've lost my mind.
Next. Well, we were just talking about your husband beforehand and you're worried that he's a little bit too hot. He's a little bit too cute. Sometimes you look for things that are like, okay, what might turn other people off?
And the fact that he's a director and like, I sometimes think, you know, the directors that I've had direct me, I've never been like, ooh, like, hey.
There's a reason they're behind the camera.
And he had to do his last film. He wrote the movie and he directed it. And there was like a topless scene. And she's like a younger version of me that was cast.
Oh.
Right. So she's
20. Were you watching this?
Yeah, no, like I was at home pregnant with my second child.
But you knew this was happening.
Yeah, I was going to be the role, but it just took so long for it to like get made.
It was going to be you.
It was going to be
me. Oh.
Yeah, and then I was like, honey, you've aged out. I'm like, oh, my God. Because
Did you have to have that conversation with him? Did he have to tell you?
Like, no, he didn't tell me. He was just like, you know, we're going to make the movie or whatever. And I was thinking, wait, what? And, you know, between us, like, when it was written and when it was actually done, there was a period of time. And I got pregnant, you know, and I couldn't play this
stripper
pregnant. I mean, I guess I could, but it would probably be like a very different film. Look at these pregnant movies. I mean, look.
Spreading milk into the crowd.
There's a whole side of Pornhub.
One of them's a trophy.
Listen, there is pregnancy stripper Pornhub section somewhere. Sure. I'm not saying go look for it. I'm just saying I'm sure it's there. But for me, I was like, oh my goodness. He's cute and he's funny and he's nice and he's smart and he's watching this 25-year-old with no top on and he's like, it's just a job. And I'm like, but is it? Like, is it just a job or did you add an extra three, I don't know. But
was
he's
he part of
respectful.
The casting process?
He's like, to all the girls, take your top off. No, just and I was like, no boobs, no her. You can have this one. Yeah. The woman who's had a baby and it's a little lower, that's one you can choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So how old was she when she was like, when you were
24?
24. And how old were you when it was originally written for you, that part?
I was going to be 29 at the time. Right. But like, because I've always had... I always call it fat cheeks. I've always had like this baby face, which I hated when I was younger, but I actually really like it now because I think it's just made me, my face is rounder, so I've looked younger my whole life.
Yeah.
And so at 29, I could play 24, like super easy. Even 32, I could play 20. When I was doing Pretty Little Liars, I was playing 17 at 27.
Wow.
Yeah. And listen, it was like 17, 90210, 17. You know what I mean? But you're just like, I think these people have got kids. why are they in high school? But
pigtails are great like that.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Can look like anything.
So I was 26 when I started Pretty Little Liars, and I was on it for almost 9 years. So.
Yeah, wow. Because I mean, you're both in the industry. This is a question we haven't, because you know we've been talking to so many different people, but it's rare that we get people who are in a relationship and both of them are in you know a similar industry, but you know two different sides of the coin. Does that conversation of the industry does that continue at home, or is it it's all family life and kids?
No, it's kind of all intertwined. And the hard thing is, like, you know, I'm doing the shit show as a podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we're writing the shit show as a pilot.
Okay.
And we're
going
to do this kind of meta thing where if the shit show was like, if we took it and had artistic liberties with it, what would that look like if the host of the show was a real shit show?
Yeah.
And she like couldn't keep it together, and like everyone around her was a mess. So like I get off, you know, he's in LA, he's in Nashville in America, and I'll call him and be like, send me the pages of the shit show while I'm here shooting this. So it's all we talk about.
Yeah.
The problem with both being in the business is it's such a, people think it's like, it's very feast or famine. People think it's always great all the time, but neither of us worked the entire 2023 because there was a SAG strike.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the bank balances go up, the bank balances have nothing coming in. So you don't know really how to plan sometimes for the future because, you know, we have an advisor who's like, so what are you going to make this year? We're like, we don't fucking know.
We
could like literally be like in a nice first class seat, or we could be eating canned beans. Like there's just no in between. So you really have to think about, you know, what we can save now for the future. But I think it's difficult both being in it, but then easier because you both get each other and you both know that you're completely mad.
Well, it must be so difficult. I mean, off air just before, we were talking about the issues at the moment where your nanny has got COVID.
Yeah. I don't. I've coughed for like 20.
No, that's a cigarette she's been smoking heavily.
like 22 days now. Yeah.
So that was another issue. So obviously you're in a different country from where you live at the moment. The nanny was coming down. Your mom's trying to. So yeah.
Listen, I don't ever have nannies, so it's weird to even say nanny because I'm really about
nanny.
I'm really about raising my kids because I feel like if I fuck them up, I did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the nanny didn't do it. Or if like they have something great, it's very narcissistic of me. I'm like, that is all me. I just don't want them spending more time with like help than their own family.
Yeah.
So we thought, you know, I can't come here by myself. My husband's away. I have to fly. The nanny that we did have, like a babysitter that we really trusted from Queensland, Flew her down. She got COVID.
See, but these are all things. And now they're downstairs in Max Brenner.
Yeah. I mean, there is my friend looking after them. I don't know what the
she said friend, but she just met her. She was really nice.
I was like, it's actually a guy. I was like, oh, who's this weird dude? Yeah. Okay. Listen, he needs $50.
It was Max Brenner.
It was our producer, Jared. Jared is $50.
Jared is also, the nanny today.
Let's go back. What's your earliest memory of entertaining people? Maybe not, being funny, but like, so when did you move to Australia? Were you six-ish from South Africa?
So we immigrated when I was 5 years old. I remember sitting down, everyone, and my youngest daughter right now is 5, and she's doing the same thing as I used to do. I'd make everyone sit down and I'd put on a show. And like, it was Big Spender, which is kind of weird.
Big Spender.
I know.
Ba, 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 ba.
And my parents were like, they're like, should we tell her that this is inappropriate or do we just let her ride with it? And I used to have like this boa constrictor like thing and I was like, ba, da, 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 da. And then when I was like 14 years old, that's what was my first like on stage performance was Big Spender. But again, I'm like 14. I think about all the things that I did that was probably so inappropriate. But you know, when we were younger, wasn't as inappropriate.
The gambler. I was doing the gambler as a kid. You know,
what's that?
You got to know when to hold them, know when to. It's a song
about
gambling.
Boobs?
No, it's a song about gambling.
Work for boobs too.
Oh, of course it would.
Got to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them. Know when to run.
Yeah. It's about gambling.
Yeah, it's about That's gambling. Better. And then the gambler in the story, right, he then dies. And I'm singing this song as a 5-year old performing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you're performing, is this in South Africa or is this in Australia?
In Australia, yeah.
Yeah. And so
my earliest memory was being here. It was actually immigrating. Probably that was my earliest memory. We were on a plane, and this happens to me a lot, but three out of the four engines didn't work.
What?
I know. I remember us turning around midway.
In the air?
I was also on a plane that went down going from New York to Turkey, but that's another story.
We lost
all electrical power over the ocean. They said, get ready for landing. We were 2 hours out, and we landed in Nova Scotia in an aborted football field. It was a landing strip like back in the day. It was like now just like overrun with grass and shit like that. And there was like no airport, and we had no electrical power. So they still have the engines, but they don't know how close they are to the ground.
Yeah.
They don't know how fast to go, how slow,
when to pull
back. Okay. They don't know altitude. So when we actually landed, there was about 7 or 8 fire trucks around us.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting is like when quite a while ago, like 2 years ago on social media, people didn't believe me that I actually had to show them like me outside the plane with like a peace sign because I was like, I should document this shit.
Sounds like
in the middle
of
nowhere. And then another plane had to land. It wasn't Qantas, next to us. And we waited 7 hours on the plane to wait for this other plane to come. And then we got on the other plane. I just wasn't scared when we left because I thought lightning probably doesn't strike twice.
You know what I mean? How long ago was this?
2 months before we conceived my second child.
Wow.
No, that's not true. My first child.
First child.
That's how the child.
I can't remember.
7 hours to kill on a plane.
I can't remember. So. I was just like, hey, honey, I know there's everyone watching us, but maybe we can make it some freak
Guess
thing.
Guess what, babe? This isn't turbulence.
Yeah.
This is
turbulence.
This is seat 3D.
This is real turbulence, honey.
Mile High Club doesn't really count. When it's
have you ever had the Mile High Club?
No.
Have you wanted to?
You always want to, but then you go in. But here's the thing. Well, it's always like a young boy fantasy.
What?
But then
so small and stinky. Yeah,
well, this is the
pee.
Thing. And it's not until you go into an airport, but like a toilet, like
your
and then you go, this
urine.
Is fucked in here.
It's gross.
It's gross. I think it was snakes on a plane that made me want to have sex in a
Did
plane
they do it on
temple.
Snakes on a plane?
Yeah, and then they get bitten by the
Did
snake.
Did they really?
Yeah, spoiler, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I haven't watched it.
Because everyone wanted to go run and see it. Yeah. I think my friend Nathan Phillips is in that one.
Yeah, he was the guy having sex in the.
Was he really?
No,
I was gonna text him and be like, "Biatch." I just don't know the Mile High Club, but the whole time I'd just be so nervous. I'd be like, "God is going to."
He's watching.
Yeah, he's watching, and he's gonna make it like This is why something's gonna happen with the plane because he's gonna be like, "Damn you!"
Yeah,
I'd probably not have a great feeling if you're in there and all the lights turned off.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's sexy at all.
You're flying. What was your memory of flying over? Oh, it turned around. That's right.
Yes,
turned around back to South Africa.
From South Africa. Turned around.
Yeah.
And we're in this like small room, and everyone was like, "What's happening?" And I don't have a lot of plane luck, but knock on wood, we're all good now.
Yeah. She cruises everywhere.
I just walk.
She's a P&O girly.
Have you been on a cruise?
No, Jimmy has.
I went once when I was like 18, 19.
Is it great?
It was for a mate's like birthday, and so we were all like, there was like 8 of us, and we were very drunk.
Did you get seasick?
No, I was fine. Everyone else had like seasickness bands and tablets, but like I was like, and we had really like you were banging into walls and
were people vomiting.
Yeah, people were throwing up everywhere. I was fine.
It's just awful. It's like it's not like it's like a kumbaya ayahuasca session. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing special about vomiting together on a boat.
No, there isn't. I just feel that the thing I don't like is there's no escape. Can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ocean.
I had grown up, like, I mean, that sort of weird, like, I'm 34, so, like, I didn't get a phone in high school till I was in year 10. It was, like, a Nokia, I think. But then I remember, yeah, like, you know, 4 years later, whatever it was, we went in a boat, and you're back to not having a phone, because once you get out, you know, the phone is working. So I remember, like, you know, having to be like, oh, I got to meet at 12. It's like, it was like the last time I remember not having a phone because once I got back, I'm like, never went to cruise again. I'm like, you're just fucking on this thing 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Isn't that awful?
I fucking hate it.
I hate it so much. And I'm so addicted to, like, people say, what are you addicted to? It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's, you know, none of that stuff. It's my phone.
I hate it. I hate the fact that the thing I hate the most about it, though, is when someone like calls you, right, or texts you. And you don't answer, you don't reply, they get offended because they're like, well, we all live in our phones. So you've seen this. Why aren't you answering?
And I'm especially like, especially when it's delivered and like seen.
Seen. But it's like, seen. How can you not? Like, you should be able to be like, no, I want to respond to you when I'm all right. Or like, it's very draining when someone calls you because you don't know what they're going to say. Because I remember living at home when I grew up, the phone would ring. My mum and dad didn't always get up and answer it.
Yeah,
they'd be like,
that's what voicemails for.
Or like, it's your auntie.
They'll call back.
Even when
we didn't have voicemails, like, they'll call back. But now it's like this thing of like, you should answer because you have this thing on you 24 days.
And then there's nothing worse if you text and they call. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Because they know you just texted.
Yeah, you're like, hey, what are you up to?
And then I got to be like, I'm at my kids graduate. No, they're not old enough. They're performing. I'm like,
at least you can say, when we say we're at our kids' things, they're like, you don't have kids.
You can just say you're on air.
Yeah.
No,
I'm at Tamman's kids.
Yeah. I always say, I'm like, I'm in a studio recording.
The best thing about kids is like, I'm in the bedroom while they're sleeping.
Yeah, it's
so
good.
So I can't talk. Yeah. I use that with my husband all the time.
I'm in the bedroom while Tamman's kids are sleeping.
Just text me. That's weird.
I know.
I'll be like, who's this weird guy? He's being like, super weird.
Hey, it's Audio Bones here. And if you want to win yourself a prize this week, the code word this week is the water wave emoji. So head to the Jimmy and Ape Instagram page, find this week's Born Funny video, and comment that emoji under it.
When you're young in Australia, are you loving performing? Is this what, you know, there's a bug and you're like...
It was everything that I wanted to do.
It was as soon as you came, because you joined was it the youth musical theatre?
Yeah,
did you do that straight away?
I actually have a diploma in acting. I actually was at an all-girl private school, Ravenswood, which is on the North Shore.
Yeah.
And I was in every theatre program and I loved everything about performing. And I did a Stepford's. In the beginning, I was like coming last. And then by the last 2 years, I came first, was placed first in every category. So I remember 1 year I won every single category.
Wow.
And I was like, this is beneath me now. I need to go, I need to be on the big time.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, it's funny because someone says I was very bullied at the same time. So it was interesting that I was bullied at school and yet I was doing so well in other areas.
Was that weight related? What was,
I had fuzzy hair. Again, look at the back of my hair. Fuzzy hair, braces, overweight. And back then, I mean, maybe the fuzzy hair braces thing, but back then weight was like such a thing. Yeah. I grew up in the 90s when like the people I looked up to were like Miranda Kerr and who was beautiful body and, you know, Britney Spears and like, you know, maybe I needed better role models and Christina Aguilera and all those people that they were tiny, they were waifs. They were like the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
And that was I've got this in a post on my reels that just shows the things that were actually said in radio shows and even on the late night show and things like that.
I think there's a video, I can't remember who it was the other day, it was like Oprah and she's talking to someone and there's like...
The Olsen twins, she's like, you know, so do you get more, she says something like, so how much do you weigh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a weird, but it was like everyone was doing it and no one was calling it out or did they not know that it was bad behavior?
I think it was just that skinny was just the currency.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you weren't skinny, there was something kind of wrong with you. It felt that way anyway.
Is that why you lost all that weight? Was that the mentality?
I lost the weight because I went to the Knox School dance and this boy came up to me and I thought, I want to actually thank him. So if you're listening to this, he came up to me and I thought he was going to ask me on a date. And I was at that age where like, I really wanted to, you know, kiss a boy and stuff like that.
Vulnerable age too.
But very vulnerable. And he said, hey, and I was like, I write about it. I just got a book deal and I'm going to put it in my book, but I wrote about it on my social media, like a whole essay about it. And he said, you need to go to Jenny Craig. And I remember it so well. And that was one of the most defining moments of my life because I didn't take it as a, oh my God, I suck, I'm a loser. I was like, I'm going to do something about this. And to be honest, it's a weird thing now because diet culture is so real. But like, I probably should have lost weight because over time, you know, my parts of my body weren't going to work that well. Like I was going to get stiff and I'm probably sure my liver wasn't going to be great. And, you know, there's just so many issues that I was going to have that I just decided. And in the beginning, I did it really healthy. I just exercised and ate well. And I lost like almost 80 pounds,
40
which is
kilos.
40 kilos
wow.
really fast. Like within, and again, you're 16 years old. Like it's really quick when you're, you know, my metabolism's fast.
Really hard,
And then 6 months later, after I lost the weight, I got an audition for Home and Away. Actually, no, I was working with my parents. My parents did the show bags at the Royal Easter Show.
Yeah.
So they did like a little luxury. They did the Marie Claire show bag, Dolly magazine show bag. So that was their business, and I was selling bags there.
My sister's given your family so much money every year. The Dolly show bag.
That was my family.
Yeah.
That's what they did. My dad came over from South Africa. He can't take any money out of the country, and he just started again. And that's probably why I'm such a scrapper of like just doing whatever I can to like make it work. And he started that business, and he had like by the end of it was like 20 show bags.
Wow.
And the key thing to that business, which is so smart, and sampling's not as big now, but it was back then, is that he would get paid to sample those products.
Yeah.
And then he'd put those products together and sell the bag.
Genius.
So he was getting paid to make the bag and to sell the bag.
Wow.
So it was so great. And it was like, you know, I remember him because, you know, they used to pay with cash. It was like, there wasn't back then. So my dad would be here's $100 to go get a smoothie. Cause like he was like, it's out of the till, right? And I'd be like, oh my goodness. And I think that's also given me this idea of value of money. I'm just like, oh, money will always come in.
Was anyone in your family in the performance space, like before you kind of started
doing
it? My
mom won the equivalent of like an ARIA or like a Grammy in South Africa.
Wow.
She was a recording artist. She did a couple of albums. She won many awards and she was a director.
Wow. So and growing up, did you ever want to emulate, you know, what she
did?
Yes
and no. It was interesting because like she did that, but she kind of gave it up.
So did you do any of that in Australia? No?
No. And I think that like through years of therapy, I've had to make peace with the fact because I sometimes think it's like my fault because she kind of gave it up for us.
Yeah.
Back then, it wasn't like a two-income family, you know? Like it was really, dad goes off to work, the kids are in private school and the mom's home and like puts the dinner on the table, irons the dresses. And it's not like my dad would have said no, but I just thought, I don't think it was really thought of. She was like, well, here I am to support, you know, she would definitely help with the show bags and all that kind of stuff and be on the tail. And she would do a lot of that work and do all the financial bookkeeping and all that. But I always wonder if like she regretted that.
When you then started to show an interest in that performative space, you know, not when you were singing Hey Big Spender, but when you were, you know, starting to show a lot of success at school and then obviously with the, you know, youth musical theatre and all that kind of stuff, did that, you know, spur her on to give you advice and to guide you through that?
Yeah, she was never, was like a competitive mom, which is really good. She was always super supportive. There were things that she was really, like she was a concert pianist that I never really got into that because that was like her thing. And I think subconsciously in a way, like I didn't want to then also be the kid who's like playing the piano. Do you know what I mean? And she plays the guitar and she was a guitar teacher. So that's why like I didn't do that as seriously because I was like, okay, that's your thing. But she was never like an actor like me. So she was always the one to like take me to the places and drive me there. And so my first, going back to that story, my first audition I was on the stand and a modeling agency came up and said, and she's like, I want you to call me up because I think your daughter has potential in modeling. And I was like, okay. And again, I'd never really thought of that because again, I still now feel like the chubby teen that was teased and like people didn't want to be around.
Yeah.
My mom said, you know what, if you're going to do this, we're going to go to the best. So we took some pictures and she sent an email to Chadwick's Chick, and something else, another one.
MGM or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all came back and said, yes, let's like have her in. And I remember I walked into Chadwick's and Martin Walsh at the time was the managing director. And he said, take your shoes off because my shoes were like 5 inches. I'm 5'5", but when I walked in, I was 5'10".
Yeah.
Okay. And I was very thin at the time. And like, again.
So you're 14?
I was 15. And I was like very puppy faced and very long, you know, lovely hair back then. I hadn't like postpartum hadn't happened. And he's like, take your shoes off. And I took his shoes off and he goes, listen, you're a little short, but I think we can work with you.
Yeah.
And that was, and that he goes, I'm going to send you to a go-see, which is you go to a go and they see you, but you go to a place, they take pictures and they, and the photographers say, yeah, she's got what it takes.
Yeah.
And I still have the first picture. I like the camera came on me and my mom had been, I'd been taking these pictures with my mom for years.
Yeah.
And I was like, boom, ching, bah, yah,
Please
and
steal the shit
they
out
signed
of
me that day.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, I mean, so you were doing the acting then the modeling, you know, both relatively, you know, serious career things.
I was never modeling.
Was it? Oh, well, you know.
But it was a modeling agency who got me my two weeks later. So then I did Dolly, Girlfriend, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
2 weeks later, I got an audition for Home and Away.
Was the passion acting?
I never even thought I was pretty. I still kind of never, like when people say, oh, you're cute or whatever, I'm still like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's just never been something that I ever believed, even when I was doing FHM and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I only did that magazine, by the way, because I said they were going to use a picture anyway. And I was like, screw that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what picture you're going to use on the cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I didn't never want to do the magazine until they're like, we're going to put like some old crappy like beach picture that like with you like sitting down. So I was like, I'm going to shoot for them. But I never really thought.
And it was was it serious acting that you wanted to do or would you, you know, comedy acting? Or
yeah, cause... no, it was just acting. I think the comic side, my husband and I shot a show called Aussie Girl, which was short form content. We shot it for Sony and it was when short form content was kind of the thing, 10 minute episodes of, you know, shows that you could put on YouTube or whatever. And then it kind of went away. But that's when I really was like, oh my goodness, this is something that not only do I love, that was about 8 years ago, not something that I love, but something I think I'm actually good at.
Yeah.
And people have only seen me in the dramatic space for so long. That show I'm going to start like actually putting out on my Instagram. I'm going to make that its own sort of network.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And create so people can watch it on my
So site. When you were doing Home and Away, obviously, you know, that serious acting and all that kind of stuff, you know, offset and, you know, through read-throughs and all that kind of stuff. I don't know the lingo. Not an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's me guessing. Like, you're on the onset.
I'm like, what
offset?
The fuck's a read-through?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. But were you, were you ever funny, like off screen?
Yes,
like when you're around, were you entertaining people and having a laugh?
My mom always used to laugh with me, not at me, because that would be like really mean. And so I always had an audience.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the key, like for people who have kids is just always be their biggest supporter. You know, my eldest is really into football and it's nothing that I really understand or did. And now I'm like the biggest football fan. Like I'm screaming at the TV and I'm yelling like, go Chiefs. Like she doesn't know many Taylor Swift songs, but she knows every single score of like the Super Bowl for like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so instead of just pushing away from it and because I didn't understand it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to lean in.
Yeah.
And
your mom did that for you.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they were really supportive. There was nothing really bad to say about that. I mean, they were really supportive. And I mean, sometimes I would say overly protective, which they know now. Like through therapy, I realized that I sometimes have some coping skill issues because I was really young and then I only had to go to set, know my lines, and then everything else was handled for me. Like I had a business manager until only recently. So someone else who was investing my money, paying the bills, doing everything to when I let go of him 3 years ago, I was like, how the fuck do I pay a bill? Like, it's not that I'm like an idiot, but I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't even know how to like book tickets or book travel or because everything was kind of done. And then I also married someone who's a very much a caregiver. And it's also what I know.
Mm.
So my parents were I'd never caught a bus until I was, oh God, like, you're like, you're not missing out until I was 18 or something, 18 or 19, because my parents dropped me off every day. They picked me up and then I drove myself. I was working at 16 years old. I bought a little Golf, which was like my first purchase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then by the time I was 19, I bought an apartment, you know? So I didn't really know sort of how to be a kid. And then there was this article recently that it was very clickbaity, like Tamin thinks that fame was traumatic for her. And what I was actually explaining was that I got my brain scanned. There's this amazing doctor in LA who scans like the Kardashians brain, all these people, like all these child actors.
Yeah.
And they realized, and it was the same with me, that in certain areas of their brain, there's actually some damage. Not brain damage, but you can see parts that don't light up as
synapses
well.
Synapses don't line up. That can
because
the neural pathway.
Yeah. And also the frontal lobe is very lit up.
Yeah.
Because when kids become successful really young, they have to like learn how to be adults. and they don't have, you know, your frontal lobe for kids doesn't develop till you're like 25. I didn't really get from 15 to 25 all those fucking up, you know, like I screwed up and I got to figure it out.
Or, yeah, of course.
You know, oh my God, I'm stranded. Like, how am I supposed
sink or swim moments.
Yeah, how am I going to get here? Oh my God, my electricity got turned off. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I never really had to do that, which is not a woe is me. But then when I got older, I was like, oh my God, why am I having a nervous breakdown at 34? Because I couldn't open my luggage. I flew by myself to Germany and I couldn't open my luggage. And I called my husband at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was bawling because I couldn't figure it out.
Because it did have a lock on it or something.
Yeah, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't problem solving and I wasn't like getting anyone else to help me. I just knew that he would fix my problem and he couldn't because he was not even anywhere near me.
Yeah.
But that's not my go-to. My go-to isn't like, fix your own problem. My go-to is like, oh, someone else will fix it for me. And then you realize as you get older, you're the only person who can fix your problems. No one else is. People will be there to the extent that they can be, but everyone is thinking about their own lives. And as much as you can love other people, you gotta fix your own shit.
Knowing that, how do you then input that on your kids? You know, I know they're still young, but you know, growing up and learning, like what kind of lessons do you teach them based on what you've learned?
I'm very, very careful to do all the things for them within reason. Like, you know, I'm not going to make them, my 5-year-old, like cook some paint. Well, that's not true. She tries to, but, like, turn on the stove or, like, you know, do dangerous things. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to do that because that's my job. But if they can't put their shoes on, I'm just going to wait outside until they're done.
Yeah.
You know, my friend used to do my shoelace up my whole entire school. But, like, I don't even remember doing my shoelaces up. Because, again, I adapted to, like, finding people who'd help me out. So I was like, oh, this friend will help me. It wasn't me being lazy. It's almost like I didn't know how to figure it out so someone else could figure it out for me. I can do my shoelaces up now.
I mean, Jimmy and I just wear Birkenstocks.
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, you don't have to
wear Birkenstocks or slipping on.
Yeah. Dressed up for this. So I also would love to know, you know, you talked about how, I guess, difficult that was when you were at 17 on Home and Away.
Yeah.
How is it being a character when you're also at an age where you're trying to find your own identity?
Yeah.
Did you get lost between the character
I mean,
that was on screen?
My first kiss was on set.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I think so. I mean, I look back at it and I can't really remember like a passionate kiss before then. I was like 16. I remember I was a late bloomer. I lost my virginity at 18, like on my 18th birthday.
On
some
screen.
Random, no. On screen. This guy was like, I'm sorry, this is going to only hurt for a second.
Episode of Home and Away
was
that?
Exactly. It was episode 962, the one that was cut out. But I was 18 years old because I was just like, oh my goodness, I was so worried about, I don't know what I was worried about. But I think sometimes life and characters do kind of blend because for me, I always play a version of myself in every character I've played. Even Pearl of Liars, she's the villain. I'm obviously not a villain in my own life, but she's very misunderstood, and I think that I can take parts of my life where I go, oh my goodness, I've been so misunderstood in this part of my life, and how do I inject it into this character? So I try to do that. So I think all characters have a part of me.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I would never change anything.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I went through and all the kind of heartbreak and the pain and the mental health issues, I honestly think that if I didn't have that, like I wouldn't be as grateful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be as courageous. I wouldn't take risks like I do now. Not dangerous risks to have kids, but I take risks. Like I put myself out there and I can say I'm a scrapper, whatever that means. Like I will not take no for an answer when it comes to like work. And not in an aggressive way, but I think men do it all the time. And yet we're like bitchy or she's like such a, she's not a boss. She's just like, she's hormonal or whatever it is. But I had to do something with the bank the other day, and this is so not me, but it had been 3 days of my life. And I said to them, I said, you can physically remove me from this bank, but I'm not leaving until this is done. Because there must be someone in this bank that can figure this out. I was like, I've been here for 5 hours. There must be someone that knows how to do this. Because it happens in other places. So we're going to have to figure this out. And like, they looked at me and they're like, okay. And I think.
Did you have your tall shoes on?
I have my shoes.
Were you 5'10"?
And she was like, and she said, take your shoes off. And she said, listen, you're way shorter, but we can make this work. Yeah. And we come full circle.
We had you on the radio show before we've had you on this podcast, and without not knowing a lot about you, I found you very funny, both before the interview, during the interview, and afterwards. Mm. That person that we saw that day, did that person always exist, or was it, you know, talking about like offset or, you know, not being filmed, you were funny and behind the scenes, like that person always exists, or when did it come out? When did that side?
I find myself when I'm in situations like a radio show or a podcast or, you know, an interview, like I did the project and I was like on fire. It's like a show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I go to bed like, wicky, wicky, wah, wah. Like, come on, kids. Like, let's make some jokes before we go to bed. Normally, I'm just like, get your fucking ass. No, I don't say that. I'm just like, get to bed.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so my husband's like, just leave me alone. But yeah, like, funny is a performance. No matter what people say, sometimes it's unfortunately a performance to hide the truth.
Yeah.
A lot of comedians struggle a lot. And it's because it's a beautiful way to hide. And was a beautiful way for me at times. And the worst part about mental health is sometimes when everyone around you has taken a piece of like that humor and had a better day, and yet you're still in pain.
Yeah.
I always find that to be like, ooh, you know, when you've gone out at night and you've made everyone laugh and they're like, oh my goodness, Tim is so funny, and they feel great and you're still crying at night, you know, that to me is something I find fascinating. And I think a lot of humor comes from pain, and it's oftentimes people who are the saddest are the funniest.
Yeah.
But you look at it all the time. You see it all the time with comedians. Normally they're the ones who struggle, and you go, how can that person be struggling? You know, Twitch. Do you know who Twitch is?
Yeah.
No.
I did a movie with him, and he's a big sort of, he was Ellen's
Ellen's
right
DJ.
Oh, yeah.
He was a DJ. He did these incredible, funny TikToks, and I did a movie with him, and
super talented.
And I would never in a million years, if I was going to say someone was going to hurt themselves, he would not even be on my one of a million list. And I spent a lot of time with him doing that movie. And he just radiated such joy, and he was so funny.
You know?
So I'm not saying that all comedy comes from pain, but it's normally the things you laugh about because you're struggling the most, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote this funny essay about miscarriage, and it was funny, but it was also really sad. You know, I had my second miscarriage while I was seeing I saw my ex-best friend who was walking into a movie theater, and she was pregnant, and I was literally miscarrying while I was talking to her.
Oh my God.
Because I could feel it. And I thought, like, this is funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's not funny, but it's like the universe, God, whatever you believe in, has a fucking sense of humor. Like, this is when I decide to miscarry while this bitch is right there and she's pregnant. Like, it's not even that I ran into her and then I was going to miscarry the next day. I was miscarrying as I was running into her pregnant. Like, you can't. And then I thought that there's something in there that's funny.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know if it's, the thing is, like, it's not necessarily funny. I just think these situations happen and then you decide as a person whether or not you're going to make this funny.
Yeah,
and
miscarriage is not funny, but no, like, the situation, like, is like, are you kidding me?
But I think life is that. I think life is a bunch of versions of situations of what you've just described. It's fucked. Like, we pretend it's not. You know, we get taught that, you know, if you go to school and you study hard and you do this and do this, it's like this self-preservation or it protects you. But the reality is, like, everything's fucked. You can get hit by a car, you can get cancer. There's so many terrible things in there.
Yeah.
So I think, like, if it's then up to you, if you're like, all right, I want to make this funny.
Yeah.
Do you think you can turn funny off and on?
Yes.
Yeah. And how easily can you do that?
Oh, really, really easily. Yeah, really. My husband and I can be having, like, the worst. You know, we've been together 18 years and we know each other's buttons to push. And, you know, we have the same fight every month. It's the same fight.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's about the tortillas or if it's about the ball.
Do you find that exhausting, turning it on and off?
I didn't realize this, but I'm like an extrovert introvert. So when I'm anxious, I like to be introverted. But to get out of anxiety, I have to be extroverted.
Yeah.
So I actually leave a social situation feeling really good. And so I get a lot out of that.
Mm. I want to talk about Tam, and, you know, obviously, you know, the Home and Away career was awesome. And then the music career came along. Yeah. Can you talk through, you know, transitioning from, I mean, obviously the acting remained, but then to now pick up another performative element, which was the music side of things. Was that a hard decision, or was that just, I want to have a crack at this too? Like you said, you know, you're a scrapper. Fuck it. I'm having a crack at this well.
Yeah.
What was the mindset when you decided to go into music
So I'd always done musical theater. it wasn't like a new, like around the time I think soap stars were getting recording deals. And I'm sure that was the same for me, but I'd always done music. It wasn't like, oh, let me try this. They've gave me a recording deal. Let me figure out how to be a singer and a recording artist. I'd been singing since I was young. I'd been doing vocal lessons since
because
I was
because of
like,
your mom?
Yeah, I just always sung. I'd always been in musical theater. And I did like South Pacific. I played Liat in Sound of Music.
I
was a big spender and I had to sing the song and show like, you know, my bow constrictor. But yeah, music was always part of it. So when they said like, can you sing and let's put a little showcase together, I was like, okay. I didn't think it was going to be as easy in the beginning because, you know, and sometimes I don't think it's fair because those people are like the hard slog and their whole life is working to get a music deal. And then you're on a soap and you get the opportunity to make music. But I took it and I ran with it and I loved it. I dated someone in the music field for a minute. And that was kind of awesome and cool. And I felt like I'd been such a, this like good girl, this, oh, she's this little ingenue and cute. And I felt like I could be kind of a little rougher and a little tough and a little edgy. And I liked that. And I was in 19, 20 when I got the recording contract. And then I went to London and I was set to release music. Actually, there was a song on my album, Dancing in the Dark, I think it was called. I think Sia and someone ended up, and I was like, no, that's not going to be a hit. I was like, we can't release that song. And it was like such a hit. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I've made a few of those mistakes in my life where I was like dating someone. I was like, oh, he's not going to be successful. And he's like, oh my God, he's so fucking successful. But yeah, no. So the day before my album was going to be released, I told Sony that I was going to America and I didn't know when I was going to come back.
Wow.
I'm sure they could have like.
And what was their reaction to that?
I can't even remember at the time. I just knew that I wasn't meant to be there.
Yeah. Was the moving so you could, you know, explore further opportunities in acting, or was it to just, you know, needed a sea change?
I don't know. I do believe in manifestation. I believe in this like inner sort of universal push that happens because sometimes I'll do things and I don't know why I'm doing this. Like if I'm buying a house, I'll be like, I'm moving towards this house and I can't exactly tell you why, but like this is the way or this person or whatever. And I don't know if this is true, but I feel like if I stayed there, it might have done well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that's who I was going to be for a long time.
Yeah.
Because at my album,
it would have put you in a box.
My album for the UK was really kick ass. And I know some people go, Pointless Relationship, oh my God, which was such a great song. I would even say the UK album was even stronger. And I was working with Max Martin, who was Britney Spears's.
Taylor Swift done it all.
Yeah. Max Martin and those.
He's a writer, producer.
Oh, he's a producer.
producer.
So
yeah.
I went to Sweden.
Like
for,
everyone.
Yeah,
like he's
right.
The
went
nuts.
To Sweden for 4.5 months. Recorded everything with all those guys.
So that album never saw the light of day, though,
no.
Did it? No. Do you have it? Where does it? You don't have it?
No.
It's have
all
a copy?
In, it's all in their sort of.
Their hands?
Yeah.
I was about to say, let's insert it here, but we don't
because,
have it.
Well,
have you ever tried to get your hands back on
writing.
It?
I've been writing.
Oh.
Yeah,
for a new album.
Music, yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I'm being drawn to write music. And so I've been
writing.
What
do you have time to do this, mate?
I have a book. I'm supposed to finish a book in 3 months,
Jesus
guys.
Christ.
Like, what the fuck?
She's got two kids downstairs at Max Brenner. She's writing
with
a new
Max
album.
Brenner.
With Max Brenner. So you're writing at the moment. What are the plans for new music? Yeah.
So, again, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't. Wait, I feel like I did. Did I finish my story? No, I did finish the story. So writing music. So when COVID happened, because I have to go backwards to tell the story.
Definitely. Sure.
We sold everything, went on the road for 7 months.
Yeah.
Just in our car. We sold everything. So we were going around America. Everything was shut for COVID. We didn't go to restaurants. We didn't go anywhere. We just stayed at these Airbnbs. So we went around America with two kids. My one kid was one. The other one was six. And we went around America and we didn't know where we were going to end up. We knew LA was done. LA at some point felt very transactional for us and everything was all online. So I didn't have to go in and audition anymore. I could just send in a tape. So we're like, LA is just not going to happen. Also, like there's so many taxes and we're like, we want to actually have a future. We don't want to just waste money on all this stuff. They have like crazy state tax and things like that. So we got on the road and we ended up in Texas. My husband, they opened up everything to go to dinner and like restaurants and stuff like that. My husband goes to dinner that night with me and the kids ends up getting COVID the next day, ends up almost dying from it.
Oh, shit.
I think you might, I don't know if you guys heard of it. He got so sick. And this is when, like, there was no vaccines or anything like that. Regardless of what people think or don't, we did end up vaccinating because I actually saw firsthand that first wave and I didn't know if he was going to make it. And
so it was, he in a hospital?
So here's what's really crazy. They wouldn't take him because he had no, his oxygen was fine, but he was going in and out of consciousness and there was no room at the hospitals. When people say like, oh, there was, I don't know, but in America, there was like no room in the hospitals.
Yeah.
And they were like, all these conspiracies that, oh my goodness, there's so much room. And I was like, no, no, I was there. There was no room.
Yeah.
And they
were
only taking people who needed to be intubated,
yeah,
like that whole breathing thing. And he didn't. And they were like, there's nothing we can do for you. And anyway.
What state were you in? When
in Texas.
In Texas.
And then, you know what? I was like, I did not have a good feeling about Texas. He got better. He still has issues from that first wave. But we've had it since and we've all been fine, knock on wood. But we went back to LA to finish up my first order schooling because everything was homeschooled until then. And we had like a month left and we'd paid for it. So he was like, okay, we're going to do that. And then I remember being in LA for that month and I was in the bathtub and I got this email that said one-way tickets for like $60 to Nashville. And I was like, that's a really good deal. And I remember yelling at him and saying, like from the other room, and I said, honey, there's like 4 tickets we could get to Nashville. And it's like, you know, 60 times 4. So what is that? 240? Yeah, $240 to go to Nashville. He's like, book it. And I was like, okay. So we went to Nashville with our suitcases. And like, that's it. And we never went back. And I remember, we ended up saying we're going to stay here. And there was no trucks, no moving trucks around the time because everyone was moving to Nashville or Austin or all this stuff, like getting away from those cities.
Yeah.
Because they just were done with it after COVID. He flew to Texas, then drove like 9 hours to LA, got all that shit and drove 5 hours, like 5 days or something.
Oh,
something
God.
Like that, 4 days back in like a huge semi-trailer with all that stuff. Anyway, long story short, we're in Nashville. Everyone's writing music.
Yeah.
Met an Aussie guy who's like an amazing, beautiful voice. He writes all the time, became friends with him and his wife, and then just got in the recording studio. And that was a long way into like
how
I started doing music.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'm still, so that album that just never saw the light of day, you've never tried to get it back. Is it Sony?
I mean, some of the songs have been, because some of the songs I like.
Just wrote, other artists recorded
them. And then
other
artists ended up recording them. And some of them I hear, and I'm like, wait, that was the demo track that I did.
Yeah.
And one of them was the Dancing in the Dark. I think it's Dancing on the, I'm going to send you the song.
It's Sia.
I don't know, but it was.
I don't think it's Dancing in the Dark. It's Dancing something.
Dancing in the Dark or Dancing. Dancing on My Own.
Dancing on My Own.
That was one of my demo tracks.
It's,
that's not Sia.
No,
it's a guy, isn't it?
It's Callum Scott.
Callum Scott.
No. Well, now it is, but the original was not him.
Dancing.
Who's the original? Right. Who's the original?
Robin. Yeah.
Right, she has been robbing your songs, hasn't she?
Well, she did the demo.
Yeah, right.
And then I did the song, and then I was like, oh, this is not going to be a fucking hit.
Yeah.
And it's so big. It's so big in America. And then obviously it's big here because someone else recorded it.
Yeah, Callum Scott.
But it's a big deal. But that was my song.
So when does podcasting, obviously, you know, you're documenting your life. People adore you on social media. They always, you know, message you and you want to follow your life. People you talk about the articles getting picked up. People are so obsessed with what's going on in Tam and Cersei's life. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I'm super like successful. Other times I'm like, no one gives a shit.
But we're going to write 5 articles
anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. And they give a shit if I like say something stupid.
Yeah.
When does podcasting come along? Because, you know, you've done all these things. There's been singing, there's been acting, there's been so many different things that you've done. When do you decide?
She can sing, she can dance, she can act.
Sing, she can dance, she can podcast.
She can do big spender.
When does podcasting come along as something that's interested you?
Podcasting come along, for me, I started a podcast about 5 years ago when I was pregnant. And it was really just because the acting just wasn't happening then. Since then, I've been able to do more TV and more films. And it was kind of in the inception of all this huge podcasting stuff. I feel like now everyone has a podcast that I feel like it's so silly to even say that I do. Like, look, I'm on one right now.
Fuck podcasts. Honestly, they are the worst. Who listens to podcasts? Mate, we're gonna Sony this podcast. No one will hear it.
You're like, how many listeners do you guys have? Like, you're like, I have.
We're gonna do this with Callum Scott in a few
weeks.
Yeah,
exactly.
Robin first.
Robin first. Yeah.
You're like, I don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to. I thought I was interested in people. I wanted to also have a space for people's stories. And I think when you do podcasting, sometimes, and I have to always check myself when I do things, it's like, am I doing this for me or am I doing this to serve? And when I do it to serve, it does really well. The biggest episodes that we've had are, funnily enough, it's a funny podcast, but are on like grief. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like someone lost a family member and they were talking about the grief and it was so, it blew up. It did 6 times what our other shows have done. And I think it's because at the time, the inception of like when we started, people wanted to feel less alone. I think they still do. And when it's to serve and to give people something, even through comedy, then those are the episodes that do really well. But if it's just all about like self-serving and me taking from the podcast, then I think they don't do as well. And I just did it because I just wanted another avenue to create. And that's just a form of creation for me. And the shit show has gone so, we haven't released yet, but we've done 20 interviews so far.
Yeah.
In like a week and a half. And honestly, it's far surpassed what I thought it was going to because I was nervous at first, but I realized I've done 300 episodes of a podcast. So I get it. Like yeah. I know when to shut up. I know when to listen. I know when to ask. I know when it goes weird and like people don't talk. Like, what do you do if like they're just not interesting and they don't talk?
We just don't upload it.
Yeah.
Point, do you really not? Point, oh, I've done that 4 times.
Point to the door.
We have.
Point to the door.
Yeah, we've done interviews before. Like, and it might not be for the podcast, it might be for the radio show. And you just like, man, if I look at the channel, this like, it's fucked.
Oh,
and we just don't upload it.
Yeah.
You know, the best
I've done that 4 times. And then they go, so when is the episode with Jillian Jacobson coming out? And I was like, there were some sound issues.
Oh, yeah. You had Jillian Jacobson too. She sucked.
Yeah, she sucked. Jillian Jacobson. I was going to be Googling
the biggest
that.
Tell for me is I look at those guys, our producers out there who are watching the podcast, and if they're like this, which they have been the whole time.
Are they really?
Then I know this is a good one, right? Okay, if Jared, who's out one, you know, the producer for this podcast, if he's falling asleep or on his phone, then yeah. I know this episode's not going
You
up,
haven't so. Asked me anything like racy or naughty yet, so that's good. That's good because I'm so open.
If you had like, a sex toy, what would it be?
Oh, God.
No, I want to know.
Just
the,
a random, like this is a normal one.
It's just a vibrator or a dildo? Or?
No, I don't, the dildo thing is just a little weird for
been
me.
Been done.
Yeah, and it's just like, just use the real thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like if it's always there, like yeah. just, you know.
Well, a friend of ours, you know, is it's bi, like it's there. And she's getting married to a woman, and she said one thing that she misses the most is just like a real cock.
Yeah. A meaty, yeah. real
like, it doesn't
cock.
Matter how yeah. good they are or they claim to be. She's like, there's nothing like there's the real thing. It's like, she's like, they're so, just.
It's just very rubbery. Like, yeah. I just, it just doesn't, nah. I would just say the real one's right there. Just get on it.
Just quickly, I've never seen Jack. Now you're really interested,
no,
aren't you?
Jared loves a real cop.
Yeah, he loves that.
What about you mentioned before exes like, that have gone on to no, well, racy, saucy. You've mentioned exes have gone on to be like super famous. Who are they?
Yeah, right. I can't.
Come
kiss
on. Come
out.
On. Come on. We'll edit it
I
out anyway.
Tell, I
it's not kissing, Jared. You're just saying
I'll
who it was.
Yeah. I always
right,
tell.
No, hear what you can do. Write it down.
I always know because you're going to show that.
No, we're not going to. Yeah. There's no cameras. You
hold
can,
it up.
You can hold on to it.
No.
Go on.
So here's the thing. I always say to my husband, I chose him after all these. You know, it's not all the. It sounds like I'm like dating all these naked men in my bed.
She just wrote that down.
What did I write?
Could not believe
Leonardo
that.
DiCaprio.
Could not believe that's that. Crazy. She wrote
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I would even go there.
Go,
firstly,
here,
I'm
write
way
one
too
down.
Old.
Yeah, you're too old for him.
Secondly, even when I was 25, I'd be too old. Like 24, you know, I don't like to be with people who date. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but like, don't hold down like a relationship for a long period of time. I don't care if you've been with so many people. But for me, like, I want, like, some kind of long... I guess he has been in a relationship for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, but they all get to 25.
Were you and Chris Hemsworth on Home and Away together? Were you in the... Is that the same school?
Yes. He started at the... When I left.
Right.
And he played a swimming guy.
Oh, really?
He was, like, a swimmer or something. He was always so nice.
Was he like, hot back then? Like, proper hot or not?
Was he, like, hot?
Like, were you into him?
No.
No.
Oh,
no!
Tired.
I mean, not like that.
There
but
you go. She's
I dated
thinks
some.
Chris
I dated
Hemsworth
some,
is ugly.
No, don't you even start.
No, that's it. Daily
oh my
Mail.
God.
You wanted it.
Honestly,
wanted
if
it.
That's a if that's I do not Daily Mail.
Find
thing.
Him attractive.
We'll
no, of course. I
Let's
mean,
get
is
sound
he cute?
Do not
no.
find him talented. Yes.
Is he cute? He's absolutely really cute. Mm. But he went to my 21st. Like we were just.
Oh really?
We still had puppy fat. You know what I mean? Like even at my 21st, you know, like when your skin's so like everything falls off it because there's no like There's no wrinkles or anything.
Smooth.
He's like, you know, like intrinsic, like beautiful human being, like perfect looking human being.
Yeah, I think he's.
Are you into that kind of thing? Like someone being that? Yeah. So you don't find Chris.
No. Oh my god. I go for dark hair. Okay. Always have. Mm-hmm. I actually go for more mixed.
Okay.
My husband is from Missouri. But he looks Italian.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Italian heritage?
Or? No. It's from like Missouri. I go, Missouri. No, it's not.
So you like darker features?
I like darker features. I've dated lighter. It's not that I don't. I just prefer darker. Mm.
You've been with him like 18 years though, so you got to like him.
You think so?
He still does it for me. It's just so weird after all this time. Like, yes,
he's a good looking rooster.
We fight sometimes and all the things that you do, but like, he still does it for me. Like, he still kisses me, and I'm like, this is like the first time we made out. Like, it's weird. Yeah.
Where did you meet him?
Is that why you want the third?
I want the third because when they're good, they're great.
Yeah, okay.
When they're not good, it's hell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just, I just love them so much, and it's a different type of love than your spouse.
Mm.
Like, I love him so much. But like I said, like I would put my body in front of a bus without. What's wild is I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
If someone was going to hurt my kid, I would run to the person who's going to hurt them. And then when I said to my husband, if he did, I'd be like, come on, honey, it's your step up. Come on. So for Sean,
you'd be like, you'll survive that.
I'll be like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't make me make this choice, Sean. Like, you're supposed to be the strong one.
So where did you meet him?
I met him. He was the director of my first film in America, and I was on Young and the Restless at the time, and I took the job because it got me a green card. Okay. That's also what lost my accent.
Yeah.
Because I was going to get fired. I think I told you this. I was going to get fired. Because my Australian accent kept coming out, and so I just decided to speak in an American accent, and then my tongue placement went wrong, remember?
Yeah.
Lucky man.
Yeah. Tongue placement is all any way you want it to
getting
be.
That feedback from your partner.
Your tongue
placement's wrong, babe.
Tongue placement's wrong. I'd be like, well, okay, whatever you
had
say.
Had no complaints from the thousands of other men.
Say it in Italian and I'll change it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, tongue placement can be whatever you want it to be, honey. But I took the, and so.
What was the film? Do we know?
So the film was just called The Farm. It was like this indie film.
Yeah.
It's like this thriller. And what's crazy is when we went through our storage unit when we left LA, there was a form, like the casting form. Normally you have like all these pictures, right?
Yeah.
And you circle who you like for the job. He was the director and the producer, so he was waiting. And like, I came into the audition, and the funny thing is when I did the scene, I was like, no, no, no. And I'd keep turning the light off.
Yeah.
And so I was like making, it's such a weird impression to make, but he was like, oh yeah, you're the light turn off girl, like whatever. But when we found the sheet,
and now
right?
They still have sex, and she turns the light off.
He wears socks, and she turns the light off.
Like, honey, why you turn the light off? He's like, I just reminisced from when we first met. But he, when we found the sheet in the garage,
is that a Logie in your bra?
Yeah, exactly. It's the third nipple. When we found the sheet of the casting, he'd circled me, and he'd written, "She's the one."
Oh.
And if you don't believe in manifestation, I'm going to tell every listener to do this, even if you think it's voodoo, woodoo stuff. I want you to say something that you want to manifest, right? I told my husband he was worried about like getting an answer, and he said he's gonna manifest a blue thumbtack. And 4 days later, he went to teach. He hadn't taught. He teaches acting at like this college.
Yeah.
At college, he has like a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and he went to teach. And on the chalkboard, like on the board, like the, what do you guys call it? The corkboard.
Yeah. Corkboard.
There was one tack there, like, and it was a blue thumbtack. And so wild. So think of something you want to manifest. And anyway, I feel like
I
want to
be on the shit show.
Are you going to do that next week?
I want Tam and Sersok on Born Funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's really happening, mate.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if we're going
to
wear it yet.
He said, but I have to tell the story, and I know I have to go because it's really funny. But he knocked on the door. Like, he cast me for the role, and we were rehearsing for like a week and a half. And a week and a half later, I get this, which would never happen now because, like, honestly, you have to be really careful about crossing the line between, you know, your boss and your...
Yeah, professional person.
It's like it would not do well at HR. But he knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and he was like, I think I'm falling in love with you.
Oh.
And so I just took my clothes off. And I thought that's that's what you're supposed to do.
Did you actually, or is this a bit?
I didn't the first time.
Okay.
But maybe the second. Yeah. And then I remember him saying, it was so funny. I was like, and then like the second, like he tried to kiss me and I was like, no, don't kiss me. Don't kiss me.
You're my director.
You're my director. I can't for like 4 hours. Like he was trying to like make out with me. Mm. Then when he kissed me, I was like, oh my God, I've never been kissed like that before. And then the next day he came back and like, I just remember, you know, just sitting on the bed and I came out and he was like, okay, let's like make out again. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's. And then you know what? The rest is history.
Yeah. Wow. 18 years.
But it would never, you know, we would never have the kids we have now. These souls would not be in the world and be alive today if it was a different time, because yeah. he would never have come
no.
to the door.
And you would
and
never
like,
have opened the door nude.
No. With yeah. like, yeah, with just like a little, with my Logie.
And he's like, what the yeah. fuck's a Logie?
Yeah. yeah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Who cares
We're
about
using
that?
It. Yeah.
Tavin Sirso, we adore you. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you.
It means the world to us. Look, before we do let you go, we ask you this question at the very start. We ask everybody at the start and then we ask everybody at the end when you've kind of heard your own story back, which I know you've heard a million times.
Oh my gosh, I haven't for a while.
Now we want to ask you again. Do you think you were born funny? A lot of people have changed their answers. Some people have said no. Some people have said yes. Do you think Tam says that we were born funny?
I do. And I also think that I was born with this path.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even close to like getting to where I want to go. But I think it was
predetermined?
Preordained.
Preordained.
That's a big word, guys.
Yeah.
It's that's, over our
that's two big words
that's
from you today.
That's pre and ordained.
Yeah, that's two.
I just like my ordained as is.
We do not do
pre or post.
Is that hyphenated as well? Because we do not do hyphenated.
I think it's hyphenated, mate.
We don't do bloody hyphenations.
Oh, it's hyphenation preordained.
We don't do hyphenations on this show.
I was born funny because it was preordained.
There is no fucking hyphen between born and funny.
I actually see a hyphen. It says born hyphen funny. I don't understand it. Is it born hyphen funny?
There's so much.
Or hyphen funny.
And look, you know, if you listen to this, please go listen to Shit Show. Nathan and I are going to be on that as well.
Yes.
So if there's more that Janine we can. Janine Jealousus or whatever it was.
Janine Johnson.
Janine Johnson.
We're boring.
So the topic words are Logie, 5-inch heels, hyphenate.
Hyphenate.
Ordained.
Ordained. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I would love, there's so much more I'd love to chat about, but
I know,
we don't
I
have time.
But hours. I love talking about myself. I didn't realize it.
I feel like born scrapper, though. I feel like that's a common theme for me.
Let's you know what? Let's make it sound nicer. Born a fighter.
Born a fighter, yeah. From your parents coming over, starting the thing.
They were immigrants and they had to fight for everything. And to some people, and yes, when I look at some people's lives, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've had it so easy. But I've always been the underdog.
You had to fight for everything.
Always
as well.
Been the one that gets picked last. Even in the audition, it was between me, Megan Fox, and another girl for Transformers. It's always been so close and I've always had to fight for it. And I do believe that I'll get to whatever success in the acting career that I want to get to. And it's probably because I just didn't give up.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Sometimes it's just whoever's last in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because after so much rejection, at some point you're just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. But that's not an option.
Yeah. I can't wait to do the shit show with you. We're doing the shit show with her.
So
I'm gonna bring my suitcase and you're gonna open it. This is gonna be the first thing we do.
I wanna also we might do a scroll text thing, so be careful.
Oh, yes.
Wait, a scroll picture thing.
Scroll hide, delete.
You didn't know that I'm an absolute shit show of a nice just perfect.
You don't take like pictures of like
my cock will be on my.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Who do you send it to?
Me, weirdly.
No.
Really?
No, well, like you
listen,
sex,
I probably would.
Sex
if, I had
people.
If I had a penis,
I have a great penis.
I would just.
And I know it. And I've been told it so many times.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
No.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So, like, you just send it out?
No, like, it would be. I wouldn't send it out.
Unsolicited.
Unsolicited.
Do they ask you?
No, like, you'll be sexting and then someone will be
sexting,
like.
Sexting, listen, it's been a minute.
Okay,
what is sexting?
Like, so, like, you're messaging back and forth with someone, like, and then you're
so
like.
Why don't you just FaceTime them and show it to them?
No, you do that as well.
Oh, but, like, this is just the preamble.
Well, no, like, sometimes
okay, this
you
is
don't
just
wanna.
The this is the cocktail hour before.
Okay,
yeah,
say you're out. Yeah. Say you're out. Like, I'm at an event, right?
You're at an event. You're posting.
Do you want us to wrap this up?
We
do this on the shit show.
Okay,
we're doing this on the shit show.
I just got to 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. I just got to know who you're texting these sexting pictures to.
Will be girls that I'm.
Girls.
Yeah.
More than one.
Well, I'm seeing someone at the moment, but previously I would see more than one person at once.
Interesting. And it's just your face.
No, so like. I'm out. I'm like at an event,
right? Oh, so
right?
You're out. You just go to the bathroom. No, you're yes. at an event.
Because they'd be texting, being, and so it could be hot and heavy. So you go to a bathroom, take a. Nathan, I've sent photo. Well, I haven't
sent
my
call. This is the first subject we're going to say, talk about.
Yes. And so then I would take a photo and be like, oh, fuck, I wish I could. You right now, and then you send that.
Oh my God. And then you say, "Here, look."
And then
what
they said they'll send something. Like it's not just a one way thing.
Wait, but do you put your face with the penis?
No, it's just well, like
what,
body.
Like this?
Yeah.
No, it'd be like a body. Like, it won't be no, just a cock
in the mirror.
So I'm in the mirror, like pants will be like. Oh, undone,
I would prefer
out.
Just the penis. Like I don't know if I need
my
the
head's in it.
Face.
No, my
like,
face isn't in it.
Oh, it so isn't for, in it.
Like he photoshops down. It on the front.
That's good, just in case someone steals your. Phone.
Yes, but also you don't want to. I have tattoos. People know who they are, but oh, yeah. Like it, you don't want to. The cock shouldn't come like just this
interesting.
That big. You need a bit of. You know
oh
what I mean?
My God, we're gonna start with this subject. So if you like the show, please go to the shit show because we're gonna start with the penis pictures. Well, I'm gonna say penis because it just sounds prettier.
Yeah, it does.
The penis pictures.
Is nice.
Penis pictures. Penis nice alliteration.
And you talk about it so much that now I feel like there needs to be show and tell at the shit show. So he's just gonna show and tell it.
Jared, I'll send you some. You just have to blur it out.
Yeah, just yeah. Tell.
For,
make
Tammy,
sure
you
Tammy,
can see him.
Yeah,
that's
just,
fine.
Open your Instagram messages.
Yeah. Listen, it's not a good day unless you get a dick pic, is it?
No, really? No.
No, it's not.
Listen, no one's ever sent me a dick pic.
No.
Well.
You're like, is this your first?
Well, I'm going to print it out, put it in an envelope, hand it to you with the shit show.
I'll be like, what has just happened? I feel violated. No.
Oh, look, last thing. Do you have a joke? We love jokes on the Jimmy Nash Show. Can
Any
you give us?
Joke.
Do you have a joke?
Oh, so bad. This is the first thing. My husband says he's bad, dumb dad jokes.
Yeah, that's what we're all about.
So a skeleton
things.
Walked into a bar and ordered a beer and a mop.
That's
good.
I think that's great. That's good.
It's really, it's such a bad dad joke.
I think it's your delivery. You're like,
it's like he knew it. Back yourself.
It was good.
It was good.
I know that if I'm going to say something, it has to be a good joke. It's born hyphenate funny. So, you know, I feel like I'm really
and,
out there.
And the do way. You have any thoughts on why the chicken crossed the road?
To send a dick pic.
Listener.